disputes the scientific evidence for evolution. Malcolm's understanding of the evidence he disputes can be gauged from his statement that
there is clearly an absence in the fossil record for intermediate levels of development. If a frog turned into a monkey, well, shouldn't you have lots of fronkies?
Well, science is not Mr. McCoy's subject either, so we should, in fairness, turn to his head of science, Stephen Layfield, instead. On 21st of September 2001, Mr. Layfield gave a lecture at Emmanuel College on The Teaching of Science, a Biblical Perspective. The text of the lecture was posted on a Christian website, but you won't find it there now. The Christian Institute removed the lecture the very day after I had called attention to it in an article in the Daily Telegraph on 18th of March 2002, where I subjected it to a critical dissection. It is hard, however, to delete something permanently from the World Wide Web. Search engines achieve their speed partly by keeping caches of information, and these inevitably persist for a while even after the originals have been deleted. An alert British journalist, Andrew Brown, the Independent's first religious affairs correspondent, promptly located the Layfield lecture, downloaded it from the Google cache, and posted it, safe from deletion, on his own website. Incidentally, when a curious reader wrote to Emmanuel College to ask why the lecture had been removed from the website, he received the following disingenuous reply from the school, again recorded by Andrew Brown.
Emmanuel College has been at the centre of a debate regarding the teaching of creation in schools. At a practical level, Emmanuel College has had a huge number of press calls. This has involved a considerable amount of time for the principal and senior directors of the college. All of these people have other jobs to do. In order to assist, we have temporarily removed a lecture by Stephen Layfield from our website.
Of course, the school officials may well have been too busy to explain to journalists their stance on teaching creationism. But why then remove from their website the text of a lecture that does precisely that, and to which they could have referred the journalists, thereby saving themselves a great deal of time? No, they removed their head of science's lecture because they recognised that they had something to hide. The following paragraph is from the beginning of his lecture.
Let us state, then, right from the start, that we reject the notion popularised, perhaps inadvertently, by Francis Bacon in the 17th century, that there are two books, i.e. the Book of Nature and the Scriptures, which may be mined independently for truth. Rather, we stand firm upon the bare proposition that God has spoken authoritatively and inerrantly in the pages of Holy Scripture. However fragile, old-fashioned, or naive this assertion may ostensibly appear, especially to an unbelieving, TV-drunk modern culture, we can be sure that it is as robust a foundation as it is possible to lay down and build upon.
You have to keep pinching yourself. You're not dreaming. This is not some preacher in a tent in Alabama, but the head of science at a school into which the British government is pouring money and which is Tony Blair's pride and joy. A devout Christian himself, Mr. Blair in 2004 performed the ceremonial opening of one of the later additions to the Vardy fleet of schools. Diversity may be a virtue, but this is diversity gone mad. Layfield proceeds to itemise the comparison between science and scripture, concluding in every case where there seems to be a conflict that scripture is to be preferred. Noting that earth science is now included in the national curriculum, Layfield says,
it would seem particularly prudent for all those who deliver this aspect of the course to familiarise themselves with the flood geology papers of Whitcomb and Morris.
Yes, flood geology means what you think it means. We're talking Noah's Ark here. Noah's Ark, when the children could be learning the spine-tingling fact that Africa and South America were once joined and have drawn apart at the speed with which fingernails grow. Here's more from Layfield, the head of science, on Noah's flood as the recent and rapid explanation for phenomena which, according to real geological evidence, took hundreds of millions of years to grind out.
We must acknowledge within our grand geophysical paradigm the historicity of a worldwide flood as outlined in Genesis 6-10. If the biblical narrative is secure and the listed genealogies, e.g. Genesis 5, 1 Chronicles 1, Matthew 1 and Luke 3 are substantially full, we must reckon that this global catastrophe took place in the relatively recent past. Its effects are everywhere abundantly apparent.